What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Smoking Tire Podcast. You know, up first, a couple of you guys, after I moved the ads up front to improve the listening experience, have decided that you'd be really smart and put the length of the ads in the comments so that people could easily skip them. You know who reads those? Our advertisers, and they don't like it. And so if you keep doing that and acting stupid, I'm going to put the ads back in the middle of the show. And I know people don't want me to break from the action in the middle of the show to have ads, but if you can't respect the process enough to not tell people in the comments how to go around the ads, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to make it a worse listening experience just to spite you all, because the ad money matters. So, in that sense, let's talk about StockX. If you love analog cars, there's a good chance you love mechanical watches as well. We got style, performance, and practicality at the center of car and watch culture alike. Our choice for each says something about us, who we are, and what matters to us. Well, I like to think it does, at least. And when I'm buying a watch, I like to take ownership of the experience as much as I can. That's why I love StockX. StockX is the world's first online stock market of things for high-demand consumer products, including sneakers, watches, and handbags. StockX connects buyers and sellers using the same methodology as the world's stock markets, an anonymous live bid-ask market. All products are physically authenticated by StockX, allowing participants to focus on the transparency of data available, including real-time market pricing, in-depth market analysis, individual portfolio tracking, historical sales, and volume metrics. That means no stressing about shady buyers and sellers, no lengthy descriptions, and no blurry pictures to decipher. All watches are in excellent or better condition. All you have to worry about is finding the watch you want and placing a bid you feel comfortable with. StockX makes buying and selling watches online a lot better. Trust me, give it a try yourself at StockX.com/smoking. That's StockX.com/smoking. How about Auto Tempest? You remember them? They are back. That's right. Auto Tempest makes your life easier, right? I spend a lot of time browsing online classified ads for cars. Sometimes I'm looking to buy. Most of the time I'm just checking out the market, but I always like to know what is what, and I don't like doing double work. Auto Tempest searches all the top car listing sites in one place. Sites like Cars.com, eBay Motors, CarSoup, Cars Direct, and many more, plus many individual dealers and private sellers. You can then compare with results from Auto Trader and all of Craigslist nationwide, not just local 200 miles around your city. Nationwide, folks. So you can find the exact car you want for the best price without wasting a ton of your time browsing around to all these different sites. You know what? Auto Tempest has been really good to us over the last couple of years. We love them. I use them for sure when I'm checking out cars, and you should too. Don't do double work. Just go to autotempest.com and search all the key spots with one click. Autotempest.com. Now, when you're working on a car, you don't like surprises. I don't like surprises because I don't work on cars, but I don't like getting that phone call from the mechanic who found a surprise. And things that you don't think about, how about your belts and your hoses? They dry rot, they crack, especially in dry places like California. Check out Continental Belts. They are OE in tens of millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, and GM vehicles that roll off the assembly line. They're also original equipment on the majority of BMWs and Volkswagens. Now, Continental is launching the aftermarket multi-V belt with the OE pedigree. It's their OE technology series, belts that are fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function. And Continental has an OE technology series multi-V belt for 98% of the vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada. You get enough surprises working on cars and trucks, a rotted belt shouldn't be one of them. Go with the Continental OE Technology Series Multi-V Belt, the belt with the OE pedigree. To get the full story, visit OETechnologyseries.com. That's OETechnologyseries.com. All right, on this show, this is a very good one. It's actually a whole week of women on this show. We got two episodes of women this week. Today, it's Miss Heather Storm. This girl is just lovely. I had a great chat with her. She's one of the hosts of Garage Squad on Velocity, and just a cool-ass car chick. I didn't really know her before. I just checked out a couple clips of her show. But after our chat, I'm definitely going to be checking out more. Here it is, Heather Storm on the Smoking Tire Podcast.
Now it's a show.
Yes.
Smoking Tire Podcast on a Friday afternoon. Hello.
Sweet. Where are the drinks?
What's happening?
It's cocktail hour, isn't it?
You want to go? You want to go? We could do it. Heather Storm in the house. Hello.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks for having me.
You're like, this is like an actual interview. Usually I just like have my friends in here and we dick around, but like,
yeah.
Now it's like interview time.
Well, I can
like,
be a friend.
We probably are friends. I go through your work. You're like exactly the kind of person I hang out with.
You're probably on a Facebook friend and we don't even know it.
We might be. We might be. I'm sorry about your traffic from Pasadena.
I was expecting
Damn.
It. That's why I did Uber.
Did you mentally
So I didn't
prepare?
Have to drive and get angry yeah. at people on the way here mm-hmm. and scream and yell at people? Then I would need one of those drinks.
I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you mean. All I had to do was drive here from Venice and like... people doing construction around whatever.
Oh, yeah.
When they shut down an intersection for like 10 minutes with a crane, and I just like was just steam was building and like just turning so red.
Yeah, and then the crane isn't actually moving. It's
no.
just sitting there in the middle
and
of the
they
road.
Don't, and they don't like make an effort to get the cars around the crane, and it's...
No one cares except for the people who are stuck in their car.
On the other hand, I'm building a place around the corner here to store cars in.
Oh.
And a big place for customers, Westside Collector Car Storage, coming summer 19. I'll show you. It's going to be badass. It's going to be real cool.
How big?
It's 150 cars.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's big.
It's big. Yeah, it's big.
Because when you say store cars, that could just be like a couple cars.
No,
you know?
Because what I was getting at is I'm going to have to block all three lanes of Sentinella for 36 hours.
Oh, so you're going to be that guy.
I'm going to be the guy. So here I was just going, turning beet red at the thought of this crane blocking the road. And then and as soon as I got through it, I went, I'm going to be that crane guy.
Yep. comes around, doesn't it? It all comes around.
Yeah, yeah. We're all hypocrites.
We don't mean to be.
No, we're just selfish. We're selfish humans.
That's
you know?
Just part
humans
of it.
Are just selfish.
By nature.
We just are.
It's hard not to be, isn't it?
You know, everyone has moments of generosity,
right.
you know.
And then we're appreciative of that.
Yeah, but I feel like, when we're all alone in our cars... You know, it's like, why aren't you all moving?
See, I agree.
We all our appointments are more important than anyone else's appointments.
It's so true. But if you're not driving, it's a lot different. Like if you're just riding.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little stressful still because I'm looking at traffic, but it's a lot better than when you're trying to get around people.
Right.
You're yelling.
Yeah,
I mean,
you resign yourself to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you also are not, you know, when you're driving, you're situationally aware. At least you should be.
Right.
So you see the other lane is moving and like that. I can't get that way. But
some
like,
of us are situationally aware when
are
we're
you
driving.
Not?
I am.
You
but there are a
be.
Lot of people who
oh,
I feel
city?
Like are in their own world
no.
just driving along.
Well, in this city, you know, it's so light to light and slow freeways and this. It's so grid that it's really easy to zone out and, you know, you start reading your Twitter feed at that light and
right.
now you're reading the Twitter feed between this light and the next
Uh-oh.
Light.
Yeah.
It's hard. Do you ride motorcycles at all?
I got my motorcycle license, but
recently?
I haven't, I think 2 years ago
uh-huh.
now, but I don't have a motorcycle. So,
where did the disconnect happen?
This is kind of a disconnect there. Well, I was really excited and I want to learn. I want to be able to ride and enjoy that freedom that comes with that. But after doing the class, I thought, okay, this is something I really have to practice in order to get on the road. And I just, after doing the show, I'm gone 5 months
yeah,
a year.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just not here. It just kind of just went to the side for
these are excuses.
I know.
Yeah,
they are.
These are excuses and they're not very good.
I have a lot of them. None of them are good.
No, not very good. But when you ride motorcycles, especially in the city,
mm-hmm.
you know, the way I go through traffic is I look at everyone's rearview mirrors to see
oh,
what
yeah.
their eyes are doing.
That's
see
important.
How their heads are moving,
yeah.
right? If they're going to change lanes, whatever. And all I see are heads and phones. Heads
down,
and phones, heads
down,
and phones.
I know.
And I try to use that to my advantage, actually. I go, if this person isn't going to see me, then at the very least, they're probably going to just continue in their trajectory.
Right.
And if I'm going faster, I can get around them
right.
and I'll be gone before they even know
right.
I'm there. Yeah.
I do think that, you know, I took the Harley Davidson motorcycle class
oh,
where
really?
You do the whole weekend thing.
Did you do it on big bikes too?
Yes. That's what it was terrifying. I'll be honest with
that's
you.
That's amazing.
And
oh
they
God,
were just a little too big. Like even with the, like even to reach with my hands and right. you know with the throttle and the brakes and everything, I was like, okay, this is not made for me.
No.
They were not my size.
Didn't they put you on like a Sportster or something?
No, no,
883.
No, it was huge bike.
You're on like a fat boy.
I don't know if it was a Road fat King boy, but it was like an 800, I think, or something.
It
I mean,
was too big.
It was too yeah, big for yeah, my yeah. size, so I felt like yeah. okay. When I begin to pursue this again, yeah. I need to really get dial something that's...
dial it back a little bit.
But I learned so much and really, I actually realized what my dad had been teaching me about driving all the time because he used to ride motorcycles. Mm. And that's just being aware of your surroundings. Right. And I think that's why that's the type of driver I am. I'm always looking at like, what are you doing? Okay, yeah. what are you doing?
This person crosses the lane, where's my
right,
escape
where's
route?
Where's my escape that's, route? And I think that's... if I wish everybody yeah. to get your driver's license, car or motorcycle, yeah. thought that way. Or well, at least was taught that
other
way.
Other countries do that, you know, like you go to Finland or Germany or Sweden or Norway or anywhere in Western Europe, pretty much.
Yeah.
And that's what they teach.
Right. They're more aware. And yeah. there are a lot more
they
bikes,
they start driving
too.
When they're 12. Yeah. You know what I mean? You
so have it's to, just part of it.
Yeah.
And they have health insurance.
I get yeah. in debates with fools on Twitter all the time about, you know, autonomous cars and mm-hmm. whatnot. And like, yeah, eventually we'll get some autonomous cars and that'll be cool. But like when they talk about safety, it's like, the reason everyone's focused on autonomous cars and safety is because there's money to be made there.
Right.
To talk about improving driver training and mandatory testing, no one's making any money off
no.
that. That's costing the government money.
Totally true.
At least in
right.
the short term.
Right.
So nobody wants to hear that bullshit.
But wouldn't it be, I mean, just imagine a world where you're not driving, not, and if you want to, you can, but yeah. where for the majority, when you go places, you don't have to drive. How much nicer would we all be to people? Because we wouldn't have been yelling all the way to work.
You ever fuck with electric cars at all? You try an electric car?
I have not driven them a lot, but a little bit.
Have you ever spent a day or two with like a mm-hmm. Tesla or
yeah.
something like
mm-hmm.
that? Do you find that when you arrive in an electric car, you're a little bit calmer than in a gas car? I find this.
You know, I never really thought about that before, but yeah.
Well,
why
you know
do you think
is?
That?
It's the vibrations, the noise, the harshness of gear changes mm-hmm. and engaging and stuff like that. And when you remove all that noise, vibration, and harshness away, all of that stuff, even in a very refined car, mm-hmm. like a new BMW
right.
or something, or if you remove it all, it's like the difference between a little bit and zero is massive.
Yeah,
and
so I can imagine that.
You kind of just, you sail along, mm-hmm. you know, and you're not, there's no jerkiness. And so that I find that even when I drive myself, electricity as a propulsion system is very calming.
It's more calm.
Super
yeah, that makes
calming.
Sense. I mean,
the
you still have to deal
thing,
with the other drivers, though, which makes
oh,
me
yeah.
not calm.
Yeah, well, are you an angry driver?
I feel like a lot of people are in my way. I do too,
yeah. I do too. Well, what
and a lot of times they are.
Well, isn't it fucking crazy about this city? Because you're from Montana, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so in Montana, you got lots of big spaces.
Plenty of road.
Right. Plenty of, you can pass, you know, all
oh,
kind
yeah.
of stuff. Here, I feel like people are so used to the traffic that they just resign themselves to it and they don't see themselves as a potential part of the problem or solution.
They're just going.
Right. No, like, but it's like they'll make these huge gaps in front of the cars in front of them and they go, well, what's the difference? It's a red light. And I go, that's 10 cars that could have made it through the light
right.
behind you, you
right.
idiot.
Right.
Like, no one ever does the math
yeah.
of the,
yeah,
car
totally.
The cars behind them.
Yeah, like, go. I
yeah.
know when you're at the light and you're like, come on, we got to make this.
Yeah.
go. And then they just creep forward because
yeah.
they were looking at their phone. And I'm like,
when I'm driving in LA, it's 50% get me there as quick as possible and 50% I'm going to be part of the solution and not part of the problem
totally.
By getting out of everyone else's way.
It's consideration.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
exactly.
just consideration
totally.
Of noticing that people are around you, too. And it's like, okay, well, oh, I see that you're behind me. Oh, you want to turn? Okay, yeah,
yeah,
I don't have to go right now. Because I did,
the
you know?
Over-consideration could be a problem.
Oh, it
you
is
go.
Sometimes.
No,
oh,
you
I hate
go.
That. Okay.
No, do the fucking rule on the
right.
I
know.
You go on the right.
So many people don't know that rule, Matt. So many
so
people don't know
dumb.
That rule. Like, you get it, and they're like, go ahead. And you're like, but it's your turn. Now you're just stopping traffic.
Zero people in Pennsylvania yep. know the rule. Zero people.
Right. I feel like it's
the rule for buggies.
I feel
buggy
like
rule.
The very simple rule of slow on the right
yeah.
is just not followed at all. And that causes accidents.
No, in LA, the right lane's a fast lane.
Because you got to get around everybody going
mm-hmm.
slow in the left lane.
Mm-hmm.
But it causes accidents if everyone
yeah.
didn't have to go around.
Have you driven in Germany ever?
Yeah, I actually did drive in Germany.
It's
yeah.
amazing.
It is great.
The lane
people
discipline.
Yeah.
People go fast, and if you're not going fast, they get the fuck fuck out of the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They have a rear view mirror awareness there.
They use it.
Yeah, because if you go, you could get rear ended at 200 miles an hour by some RS6. You know, the guy's smoking an unfiltered cigarette on, you know, on his way to whatever engineering job.
Italy too. I was driving in Italy and it was so foggy. I couldn't see anything, mm-hmm. right? And I'm going on this curvy road and I'm going slow because I can't see anything. Yeah. And people are passing me so fast. I'm like, how do they know where they're going?
Italy's lawlessness. They don't give a fuck over there, dude. They're crazy. They have, the government has no money, so there's no cops. Nobody cares. They're all half drunk. You know, they drink wine, so much wine at lunch, and they got these little hatchbacks, these tiny roads, and they mob.
And they go fast.
And they drive like life means nothing.
Yeah. They literally, I was like, I can't see another car length ahead of me, literally. And they're just zooming past me.
Local knowledge. Local knowledge.
They knew the road, I guess.
Yeah. If you go to England, dude, you'll see, you go some back road in England, and I mean, I've been over there a few times for filming, you know, and we're on these little roads, and I've got like, you know, a Porsche or a Ferrari or whatever, some glamorous thing that I'm filming. Not mine. No, not mine. The test cars. You know, my normal job is the test cars. And you see some dude in an MG Metro with like a cage and Panasports, like in like Hoosiers on it, just mobbing. You know, like the rear tires aren't even on the ground. It's just all front tires, you know, and he's like 8,000 RPM in third gear. And he's just going to the pub.
Yeah. He's in a hurry for that happy hour.
Yeah. He's just hanging out. That bar closes at 7 over there. He's got to get there.
A.M. the next morning.
Right? No, in England, it all shuts down early.
Does it?
Yeah, they're afternoon drinkers in England. Mm. Yeah. They don't do it late, except like in London, obviously.
So they can get to work early, but then they start early.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a day drinking culture, really.
Yeah.
So, Heather Storm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Host of Garage Squad on Velocity, and now your own YouTube thing.
Yeah, Drive Yourself Local.
Drive Yourself Local, which I saw on the YouTube channel. It looks like you just started
I just started it.
Like weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Pull up the YouTube channel, Tim, for Drive Yourself Local, so if we talk about things, the video guys, they can see it. See? It goes right in the show.
Wow.
It seemed, the vibe I got was it's basically your version of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Don't take that the wrong way. I love Guy Fieri.
It's not, isn't the full intention, but I've only done two episodes so both of them have been food and wine related, but I'm kind of just going with whatever I find and want to do. Actually, the third one isn't food related at all, so
it's like a small town culture kind of deal.
It's more small town culture.
Was that your idea?
My idea.
It's a Montana girl kind of thing, right?
Here's what happened. So we're filming for Garage Squad. We're filming. Am I yelling at you?
No, my headphones are just a little loud.
For Garage Squad.
It's actually for me more than you.
We're filming all out in rural Illinois and small towns, and sometimes we're staying in Best Westerns on the side of the highway, and I'm thinking, like, where can I eat? What can I find? And I ended up finding, the first episode is Bien Chido, and I found this little Mexican restaurant, and I went there, and I read all these reviews. I mean, the five of Yelp reviews that were on there.
Yeah, it's got five stars. I know the Yelp
five
map,
total reviews, you know, because we're in a small town of nothing. And I went in there, and I ended up, you know, having amazing food, and it was such a small little spot, and I ended up talking to the lady. I was like, hey, do you care if I just bring a couple beers in here of my own? Because they didn't have any, and I wanted to, you know, drink and work on my laptop a little and eat and just not be in the Best Western hotel room.
Yeah, I understand that perspective.
So I hung out for like 3 or 4 hours there. She shut down and she's like, oh, you could stay. She's like, actually, I'm going to join you with a drink. And so she came out. We had a couple drinks and then her boyfriend came and brought a cake out because it was her birthday. So it was just three of us sitting in her restaurant and we sang happy birthday and did a whole thing. Yeah. And it was super fun. And we just talked for a couple hours. And I thought, you know, I went back to my room and thought, this is what it's about, you know, is discovering those fun little places that you wouldn't even think and having a great time and connecting with people. And so that kind of spurred the idea.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah,
it does work.
So, yeah.
But not, so you said the next one's not food though. So what is it if it's not food?
Wine. The next one's going to be Pontiac, Illinois, which is Route 66 culture.
Oh, right.
All about Route 66 and a lot of people that come through there and everything. So it's some interesting places.
What's the town on 66 that was the basis for the town in Cars? What's the name of the, there's an actual town that is the basis for the town in Cars. And it's on Route 66.
I don't know.
No? Tim, Google that real quick. What's the real town that the movie Cars is based on? Route 66 to me, though, is... I'm just over it, I think.
Have you been on there and explored anything?
I've done sections of it. Yeah. I haven't done the full... I've gone cross-country like
Is 50. Radiator Springs a real town?
No, no, no. Radio Springs is the one from, obviously from Cars, but, right. A guide to the real life Cars movie characters and places. That's it. There is, I'm telling you, it's like in Oklahoma or something.
Yeah.
Or Nebraska. It's like right in the middle. When I go look for roads, I'm a sports car guy. So yeah. The idea of cruising a muscle car down Route 66 is not necessarily my idea of a
good
time.
Right.
I look for the squigglies.
Right.
So for me, it's like Colorado, California, West Virginia. West Virginia has amazing roads.
Really? Yeah,
amazing
I haven't done that.
Amazing roads.
Yeah.
I mean, no one ever talks about how amazing the roads are in West Virginia. They're so good.
That's why they're probably still so good.
That's probably
because
true.
Because people aren't on
that
them,
whole,
ruining
whole
them.
That Smoky Mountain
yeah.
area is rad yeah. for driving. Yeah.
And I do, and don't get me wrong, because I think this is a fun journey, and I think it's fun to discover some of the nostalgia that, you know, of the past, but I also love driving fast and driving on curvy roads.
Yeah.
That's just not my Mustang, necessarily.
Not in that Mustang, though, right?
No.
That's a stock 65?
Mm-hmm.
289?
289, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And that's, in your drive yourself local, you're doing the thing where you're driving the Mustang to every place. Are you actually driving that thing to where you go film for the other shows?
No.
We went back. Are you filming Drive Yourself Local on the, are you piggybacking Garage Squad? Because that would be awesome. Yeah. I love double dipping.
I couldn't, I wouldn't be able to drive my Mustang. I mean, I need to have it.
Production
schedule. Yeah. I guess where we're driving for that, driving that every day to and from set wouldn't be ideal.
Guy
no,
Fieri trails
yeah.
it around.
You kind of would have to at this point. With my YouTube, that's not, I mean, I'm driving it to the places we went, but I went and did a road trip and then filmed some of that after we were done with Garage Squad. And I'm going to do another one. I'm not sure where yet. So, yeah.
Oh, shit. What an asshole I am. I'm sorry.
You didn't put your phone on silent.
And it's my show, too. I'm just the worst.
You can do it because it's your show.
Nah, they treat you worse when you do it. You expect the guest to, but it's like, I'm supposed to be professional.
Here come the comments now about you.
Yeah, just click over. You'll see. I'm like, fuck you.
So this is you and your Mustang?
That's me. Yep. That's when I was driving. I think that's, in Missouri. I went to Hannibal, Missouri. It's like Mark Twain town, which was pretty cool.
Yeah. It was Hannibal, Missouri?
Yep. It was right. I know.
Is that where Mark Twain lived?
Yeah, he grew up in that area.
Not a Mark Twain scholar.
I learned this by being in the town. I had no idea.
Is his house like a thing?
They have like a replica of like his house. It's very small. It's like the size of this room that we're in right now.
Surprising, right?
Yeah.
I picture Mark Twain living in like a hovel. I don't picture him in like the Big Lebowski house.
Yeah,
you know?
He wasn't. He's like, yeah. But the whole thing is that the Mississippi River runs down there. So it's pretty cool. It has a lot of history just to understand like how important that river was and just people on steamboats and just, it's just such an interesting time. It's hard to imagine, you know?
Yeah, like this country without interstates,
yeah.
you know, is huge. Is huge.
How do they do
know?
It?
I don't know. I do. There is some romance to the crossing the country in the era before interstates, though,
right.
wasn't it?
Right.
Cannonball Run. You know, like the first Cannonball was like pre-interstate for a lot of it.
That's what the whole thing is about. It's like, okay, it's about taking your time. So when you're obviously on a curvy road in a sports car, it's about having fun with the drive. It's a whole different reason for doing it. When you're in a classic car, you're just taking your time. It's about cruising and soaking it in and kind of going back to a slower time.
Yeah.
You know, where you're taking your time with the moments and enjoying that and not trying to be in a hurry.
I always have such a hard time with that, with the slowing down and the stopping to smell the roses and stuff. I'm always so like into my schedule and what's the next thing, and I'm trying to be considerate and be on time for everything.
Right.
And it's very hard to go, nah, just cruise,
doesn't
chill,
matter.
Doesn't matter. It's very difficult for me to do
that.
I'm trying,
bro.
I know.
I understand that, though, because when I first started out with that road trip, where that picture was with Missouri, I had this whole, like, ambitious schedule. Like, I'm going to get here to here. Okay, we can do 500 miles this day. We'll stop in this town. Like,
yeah.
had it all mapped out. None of that
None
happened.
Of it. Yeah.
None of it.
I find when I'm planning, like, filming trips like that, so if you're going by yourself,
right.
you go Google Maps estimate plus an hour for lunch and gas and whatever, right?
Right.
Add a car, you got a time and a half. If it's
right.
two cars instead of one. Three cars, you got to double it.
Oh, right.
Four cars, triple it. And the more cars
Absolutely.
You have on the journey, the
yeah.
more time it's going to take to
like
do that.
Like when they do the hot rod tour and
oh
they go
God.
Through that. I think it took them like 8 hours a day to go like 200
yeah.
miles.
Yeah. Right? It's crazy. And even in when I've done like road rallies and stuff
yeah.
like that, it's just... You go, I don't understand why. Google Maps said 3 hours. Why has it been five and we're still going? Oh, because Tom had to stop and piss, and he had to stop for gas, and da-da-da,
yeah.
And da-da-da.
But that happened to me in my Mustang, and I'd lost like an hour somewhere, and I'm like, how did that happen? We didn't time change. We didn't go through a thing, yeah. And somehow it just poof.
It just vanishes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... soak in the moments.
Plan your road trips, people. Or don't, and accept that they're going to take forever.
You can have a plan, but I think the important thing is to be flexible, because yeah. It's not going to go as you plan,
right.
No matter what, and
unless
that's
I
okay.
Plan it.
Is it, you see, this is why you can't be in the moment, Matt.
Because I know the math. I know the math. I can do the math. That's why.
So then you have to stick to the schedule. But part of the beauty is not sticking to the schedule.
I know.
Finding
I know.
A random place and being, you know what? Screw it. We're not going to go have lunch there. We're going to have lunch right here, because this is a new place we didn't know about.
I know. It's you know what's really, it's hard when you're doing, and I'm sure you know about this because you do TV production schedules and stuff, and everything is on days. It's a day rate, a day this, a day that, a travel day, a work day, a home day.
Right.
You know, it's, there are not a lot of days. So by, even if I have a vacation, and even if that vacation is a road trip, I only have a certain number of days, and that number has been established. You know, I don't, do you get to go on, do you ever just like, I'm just going to go on a thing and maybe it'll take this long, maybe that long, whatever. Are you able to do that?
No.
No.
I have a certain amount of days. I've just accepted I might not get as far as I want to go.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Like, the days are still there, but if I say that I want to stay an extra day in a town because it's really cool and I want to explore more, I want to try to go with that intuition and honor that rather than say, no, I have to get to the next spot.
Yeah.
You know?
Give yourself buffer days on a vacation, I guess, if you can.
Seriously.
That's hard.
It
when
is.
You're, you know, gig economy, you know, we got to make that money.
And you want to see everything. So it's like, I mean, I did that with Hawaii and I was like, okay, so we're going to go snorkeling in the morning, then we'll go climb the volcano. Right after that, you know?
Real relaxing vacation, right?
Super relaxing. No, in fact, but we didn't do all that stuff because obviously that was
not possible.
Ridiculous.
I love Hawaii, but it's a sucky place to drive cars.
Oh yeah,
so much
it's not
traffic
about that.
And no, but I've been on like three car launches in Hawaii.
Oh,
because it's all some East Coast based car company, and they're
and
like,
they want to go to Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course.
We have a running joke on for Porsche especially. Porsche is notorious for picking the most absurd, hard to get to, inconvenient places for a launch. I was just invited, actually. I can't go, unfortunately, but I was legit just invited on a Porsche launch in Bahrain.
Like, where is that?
It's in the Middle East. 18-hour flight. Why, from here.
Why is it? Why did they choose that?
Because it's exotic, and some people will be like, "Oh my god!" And even I was like, "Yeah, that sounds kind of dope." But like, they did a launch in Tenerife. You know where that
is?
It's like an island off of Africa.
Yeah, I actually do know that.
Yeah, it
takes that
30
one.
Hours to get there from anywhere.
And you're like, okay, we'll be there 24 hours only, but it took us longer.
Yeah.
Over twice as long to get there and back.
Yeah, we have a running joke that, like, where's the, who's the PR person fucking in Morocco? You know?
Right. Yeah. Like, well, if we go there, I could go and meet up with that person.
Yeah, and Porsche, it's like, I love the cars, but it's like the launches are like South Africa, Beirut. Like the end of the globe, the farthest possible places you could go.
That sounds pretty cool, though.
You know, if you don't mind, flying. You know, 18 hours of flying, it's great.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a whole lot of other shit going on at home.
If you don't have anything else going on, that's the thing.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but like, I don't. An individual car review doesn't offer all that much money. So to fly for 36 hours and spend four days to get one car review is not a good financial model.
You're like, this is cool, but it's not a vacation.
No.
So they're
it's
trying
like
to
a vacation,
kinda...
except you don't want to talk to anyone there.
Right.
It's a vacation with 50 people you don't want to be on vacation
like,
with.
I don't really want to do this.
Yeah. So, you grew up in Montana.
I did.
How long did you stick around there?
I didn't.
Did you make it out of high school, at least?
I did make it out of high school. I didn't get pregnant in high school. Like
congratulations. No meth, as far as I know?
No. I actually, I didn't stay in town. That was important.
Right.
I gotta get out before it eats you alive.
What town?
Lewistown.
Where is that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's really small.
What's the nearest town I've heard of?
Billings.
And that's how far away.
Billings.
Yeah, I've heard of Billings.
Okay,
yeah.
2 hours away.
That's 2 hours from Billings?
So, I mean, here's the whole
thing. If you told me you were in Billings, I'd be like, wow, she's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, no, 2 hours from that. You have to fly into Billings.
And then drive?
And then drive.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's not good.
It's not easy to get to, which, you know, I guess, you know, if you live there, it's very remote.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's really beautiful.
Big mountains.
Big mountains.
Clean air.
Very clean air, beautiful sky, lots of stars. I mean, you can see so many stars. I mean, it's really
beautiful.
It's probably
the kind of place I'd like to drive through on a road trip.
You would enjoy that, although they have speed limit now.
Yeah.
They didn't for a time.
Is it 80 now?
I think so.
They went with the no speed limit
they
for
did.
Quite a bit.
They did, I know.
Was it like Scouts Honor speed limit?
Well, you could see forever. That's the thing. I mean, unless you're on a mountain, I mean, when you're driving down, I mean, you can see 10, 20 miles in front. I mean, you really are like, okay, I can see that nothing's coming for a really long time and I'm still going 70 miles an hour. Like, this feels stupid, you know? So it was kind of like, I actually ended up getting pulled over in high school when we had the no speed limit. And my car, the officer said, was not fit for the speed I was going.
I like that.
Because I
the
said,
car?
Well, there's no speed limit. He's like, yeah, do you really think that it's safe, though, for you to be driving this car that fast?
If your speed was only attained because of a tailwind and a big hail down,
right.
ma'am, you have exceeded the top speed of this vehicle by 36 miles an hour.
Yes. And I cheering myself on.
You can't even have it in gear. You just put it in neutral and
pray. And it's going
and
well.
It keeps
going faster. It was an 86 Pontiac Bonneville.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Was it at least an SSEI?
I don't remember.
Was it supercharged?
I don't think so. That was my aunt's car. It's definitely not supercharged.
It
was a hand me down.
On the steering wheel? All the buttons. The
I can't remember the inside very well.
Dude, give me a Bonneville interior picture. Wait, was it the square one or the round
square.
One?
Square.
Oh, man.
Square, for sure.
Is that it? An 86?
Yeah,
that's
there it
Bonneville?
Is.
Were you rimmed up?
No, there, that's a donk.
I was not
oh,
rimmed
so
up.
So an 86 Bonneville was actually basically the same as a Regal or an Oldsmobile, right? It wasn't any different.
It's very similar.
Yeah. It wasn't until the late 80s when it became its own car, right?
Oh, okay.
I think
you know a little bit more about them.
This is my wheelhouse, late 80s.
Okay.
Give me a picture of an 89 Bonneville.
You know
the
more. 80,
I'm thinking of the 89.
Okay.
The 86 Bonneville is... Yeah, this is the one I'm thinking
of.
Okay,
no, mine wasn't round like that.
That one's kind of rad.
That actually isn't bad. Mine was not that cool.
Bro, that Bonneville's kind of sweet. I like that one. Yeah, that one's better. That one, they almost went for a little Volvo thing.
They did. It does look Volvo-ish.
Yeah, especially at that angle with those wheels on it.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
No, mine you can always get another one.
Mine, I beat the hell out of that car. I mean, we're in Montana. We lived off a dirt road.
Wait, how fast were you going when he pulled you over in that car?
Like 90 something.
Yeah, it's probably pushing in that thing.
I had my friends in the back, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
We were going out to some party out in the middle of nowhere.
That's funny.
Doing nothing good.
Is that, do you, in Montana, do you just pick a field and have a party?
That's
is that
what people
how that
do,
works?
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. We pick a place you think the police are not going to find you.
Right.
And somehow
and
they always do.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do they know?
Yeah, they just...
There are only so many barns and silos.
Yeah. I mean, we drive like 10 miles out of town to have a party.
It's the same place they had parties.
Right, right. They're like, or they see the smoke from the bonfire that we're having. Oh, I guess we gave it away.
That'll do it.
Stupid
kids.
Yeah,
totally. Totally. Wow, look at that. Look at that tufted...
See, I didn't have tufted, but mine had a gray interior, for sure.
That's... Yeah, you moved up from there. Did you always have old cars though?
No, I didn't, because I had a BMW.
There's the buttons.
There it is.
That's I'm sorry.
Look at all that technology.
Yeah, Tim, pull this. Oh, you've got it. Okay, yeah. Look at how many buttons and sliders there are.
I didn't have those. Is that the 89?
That's like an 87.
This is an 86.
Yeah.
Oh, it is? Okay. Yeah.
It must be the SSE.
This must be the higher end version.
Yeah. The buttons on the
Is that green with blue interior?
It's fucking ace is what it is.
That's blue.
It is dope.
Yeah, it's green with blue interior.
Absolutely dope.
That's fantastic.
All those buttons to keep them working. Oh, my goodness.
Know. And they're all big,
nightmare.
They're like big Fisher Price buttons, too.
Yeah, so you can really see.
Yeah,
if you
got to put on big, dumb Detroit Steelworker
thumbs. In case
thumbs.
You can't see, and you're old, and you need to be able to, like, it's like the phone buttons that are really big with the numbers.
Oh, yeah, the big phone, the senior big phone.
Yeah, the senior phones where the buttons were huge with the numbers.
You know who made those? Swatch. I do a podcast about watches, and we were just talking about the history of Swatch, and they made plastic phones.
That makes sense. We don't have those anymore.
No, but I had one when I was a kid.
Anyone
actually.
Young is like, we don't know what you're talking
I don't
about
know,
right
what's
now.
What's a telephone? I was just having this conversation about the save icon on your computer is a floppy disk, and like no one knows what that is.
Like, why are we, what are we saving
and
it
like
to?
The phone call button on your car is like an old school handset
phone.
From the 80s. And that's... like 16-year-olds like, what is that? They should put a picture of an iPhone on
it. Right. They don't know. It's like, we just need a rectangle phone because the regular phone.
It's so weird.
Yeah, it's funny.
Our iconography from the 80s is like seeping in and no one is going to understand what that shit is.
Well, there still are landline phones in hotel rooms.
Yeah.
So
some people have landline phones. Yeah. My parents have a landline
phone. Some people know what they are from the hotel room. Like, oh, what
so
is
crazy.
This thing? Push buttons.
It's so crazy. If you put like a 12-year-old in a hotel room, would he understand how to use that phone?
I don't know. It's a little confusing, I think, for that.
Dial 9? What does that mean?
Yeah, like you can't get out. Somebody was trying to do, it's like dialing internationally.
Yeah.
Like you have to like dial 9, get out of here, or 00, get out of the country,
plus,
get out of the hotel
plus
room.
Plus 44, whatever that is.
Yeah, the country code.
England, I think.
Yeah, that's the country code, I think.
Yeah. So you didn't only have old cars. What else did you have besides after your Bonneville?
That was that. And then I think my dad got me another Pontiac car. I don't know
why.
Was
he a fan of the brand?
I don't know.
What did he do?
He wanted it to be a reliable vehicle. So he was into cars himself. He had an El Camino when I was growing up.
Yeah.
I remember when he pulled up in that car to pick me up, he was always into cars. He had sports cars. I remember he had to retake his driver's license for driving too fast.
Because he lost his license.
Yeah, for speeding
Gangster.
Tickets.
Nice.
When I was a little kid, I didn't really know what that meant. We had to go to the DMV so daddy can take his test again.
Come on, kids.
We're going to the DMV.
Did you have to drive him to the DMV?
I think my mom did.
What did your folks do?
They both worked in the hospital.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, my mom was a nurse. My dad was an anesthesiologist.
Oh.
So he put people to sleep for a living.
That always seemed like a pretty mellow job.
Yeah, right.
No pun intended, but like all the benefits of being a doctor without actually having to see as much blood,
to do that, but you do have to make sure that you get people almost to death without killing them.
I mean, that seems
stressful.
Yeah. Propofol is some gnarly shit.
Yeah. The thing is like growing up then, when I was drinking in high school, he's like, you are in a stupor. I couldn't wake you up. And I was like, I was fine, Dad.
Stupor.
No, I'm my states like, of stupor are my
come
specialty.
On, Dad. Like, I don't like, you don't have the drugs to wake me up. Shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. Just give me something.
You could wake me up if you
wanted. You could have if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
I was just peacefully sleeping.
The word stupor is really an insulting word for someone who's just a little drunk.
Is it?
Sleeping, isn't it?
Yeah,
stupor.
You're like, okay.
You're in a stupor if you're at the end of your bank account and in that state.
Yeah. It feels like it's a little. Yeah, it's a little insulting.
That's a stupor is not a good word.
Yeah, I
try to not use that one about my friends.
I don't think I've ever said it since then, or just only about that
story.
Did it
just occur to you how rarely you've spoken that word out loud?
I don't think I ever say it.
Right?
Like, you're in a stupor, and I was like, don't say that
word.
It's
a really insulting thing to say to your daughter. Jesus. So when you railed out of Montana, then what?
Then I went to Oregon State.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went to Southern Oregon first, but
ducks?
I went to Oregon.
Is Oregon State
beavers?
Ducks? Oh, beavers.
Yeah.
How dare you.
Different river animals.
Yeah. That's true. I never thought about it like that. There are a lot of beavers in that area, actually, because when I'd go running, I'd see beavers. Have you ever seen them, like, in the wild? They're pretty cute.
Have you seen a beaver? I've seen them certainly in zoos and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen a beaver wild.
They're big, fat,
fun little face.
Yeah, they
kinda,
do have a fun little face.
Yeah.
They're
kind of cool. You don't think about the fact that they could chew through a 10-foot diameter tree.
I know.
Yeah.
They're a pretty cool animal, actually.
Yeah. I think they're really cute until they don't like you, and then they just eat your femur off.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to piss a beaver off. I mean, they have big teeth.
Yeah, huge teeth.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I mean, I don't think they really attack humans on the regular. They're kind of...
No, I don't think so. I think you only have to worry about them if you're a tree.
Right. If you're a river.
Yeah.
And you're a tree.
Fortunately, rivers and trees, not my demo.
No.
So
you're
we don't
good.
Have to worry
We're
about
good.
It on this program.
We're good on that.
What was Oregon like?
Yeah. I love it on Oregon.
It's a beautiful
nice
state.
People.
Yeah.
Beautiful state. Rains a lot. You know, everyone, it just depends. If I like sunshine, so it does get depressing in the winter.
Mm.
You know, it's just gloomy and rainy for months. I mean, you're going to college there, that the alarm goes off to get to go to your first class, and you look out, and I'm like, it's raining again. Can I miss this one?
Yeah.
I don't want to get out of bed.
California, you know, it's expensive, and it's a weird place, but sunshine is free.
Yeah,
it's
beautiful.
It is totally free.
It's beautiful.
The effect on your mood from sunshine. sunshine is amazing.
Although it is nice to have weather. Like, I like going back and forth to Chicago a little bit because I get a little bit of that, you know, see the roll of the storm clouds roll in or thing. And
but
I'm like,
then
ooh.
You like to leave.
And then I like to leave and come to the sunshine.
I know how that
works. I actually am really glad to be done. It's nice to come home.
Yeah.
I just got back last night.
Oh,
so.
Really?
Yeah.
From shooting?
Mm-hmm.
Is it from season 5?
Yep. We just wrapped it up.
Wow. How many episodes?
10 episodes.
Nice.
Yeah. So,
tell me about the show.
So Garage Squad is a show for mechanics at home. You know, the whole thing is inspiring mechanics who regular people / car enthusiasts / home mechanic, I mean, who has a classic car sitting in their garage for maybe 5, 10, 20. We got
the
40 years.
Project
we
cars?
Yeah, project cars. Sometimes they haven't been a project car for a really long time, so they're just sitting there collecting dust. So what we do is we're like a band of gypsies. We come and set up shop in their garage, in the owner's garage, unload the van with all the tools, come and set it up, and then we have 1 week to get the car done.
Oh, so it's basically like it's like a overhaul and delivery service. Ish, right?
Yeah, I mean, not sure how to take that.
Well, no, I know. I'm just like so. So would the spouse of the owner of this car kind of try and get you in as a surprise for the owner?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes it's the owner. Sometimes it's a spouse or a friend. Mm-hmm. We look for people who the car's doable in a week. First of all, has
right.
to be doable.
Yeah, yeah. So you can't be just like a rusted out disaster.
Yeah,
right?
We can't have that. I mean, yeah. We do paint some of them, not right. every build, because it takes so. I mean that. Eats up so many of our days prepping for the paint.
Yeah, it's a day prep and then a day for it to dry.
Sometimes 2 days of prep, yeah. Especially if we have to get body panels, then we have to prep all those. I mean, it really eats into the time. So it just depends. Every build's a little bit different, even though it's, you know, the same kind of stuff. But we work on variety of cars. And then we test drive them at the end. And the owner test drive it. We reveal it to the friends and family. And, yeah.
What level of work will you do? Will you put an entirely new engine in a car?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Nice. Wow.
Yeah, so it depends what the condition of the engine. Like sometimes we've worked on cars where they didn't have one or it was just in such bad condition we had to source a new engine, transmission. I mean, everything.
Do you guys know more or less what you might need before you get there?
I don't know anything about first time that I see the car. It's first time that most
so
of
even
us
if
have
you,
seen the car.
Even
we have
need
pictures
an engine,
of the vehicle.
You still have to discover the car and decide that you need an
yes.
engine and then get that engine
right.
within a week. And that's it's a real week or it's a
oh,
TV
yeah.
week?
Well, it depends if we have a weekend. Right.
Oh.
So sometimes we have a weekend, which really helps.
Uh-huh.
That's important. I mean, usually there's a weekend because it's 5 days of work. We'll
right.
have a little, you know, an extra weekend. But that's important because we're filming this on camera. So it's not like, you know, you got to get everything done on camera.
I know.
Sometimes it's reveal day, the day that we're going to reveal it. And we are literally still like, we haven't started this thing and got it started
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're like stressing out. I mean, it can be very stressful at times. It's a lot of fun, though. The owners work with us in the garage. Sometimes their wife or girlfriend will work with us. We actually have a farm girl that we work on her 78 Chevy 4x4 pickup truck
cool.
this year, and that was super cool and it was really fun. She was just ready to get dirty and do anything that needed to be done with the truck, and so we had a lot of fun. But we actually had to replace the bed of the truck with a different bed of the truck because it was just
it was
trash
rusted, yeah.
And she had it, so she had an extra bed.
We're gonna need a new bed. Oh, don't you worry about that, we got one right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, because she had it. Yeah, she was like collecting parts and stuff and getting ready for, you know, to get her truck done.
Uh-huh.
And so she had some of the pieces that we needed, which was very helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finding a bed, you know, for like a 75 Chevy.
But
step
you'd be
side.
Surprised. The guys are really resourceful. I mean, they'll go to, you know, they'll go to junkyards. They'll call friends for parts. I mean, they come from all over the place. When, you know, I think Joe took a fender off he had a fender for his grandfather's pickup truck or something that he used for that Chevy. I mean, it's just like whatever we can get.
Like,
stuff. He's like, yeah, you don't need it. You don't need it, Grandpa.
I need that.
He's like, you haven't
was
driven
that a good, was that a good Abe Simpson? I was really going for an Abe Simpson.
Was that with that?
Yeah, Homer Simpson's dad. That's what I was going for there.
That was actually pretty good.
Not right? In hindsight, it was okay.
Uh-huh.
Once explained.
Yeah.
It was.
It's a great joke when you explain what you were doing.
It was a grandfather, though.
Yes, it was certainly a grandfather. Is that the truck?
That's a different one.
That's from the previous season. We haven't seen this one yet.
Oh, okay, cool.
You haven't.
Well,
this one hasn't come out. It comes out in 2 weeks.
That's a lovely little black Chevy.
That was fun too. Yeah,
yeah,
that
like
was
that.
A good one.
I like that one.
I didn't get to
that one's
ride
got kind
it.
Of a funky little lift kit going on there too. Is it a bit like canted up at the front, like a little pre-runner style, or is that just the angle?
I think
picture?
That's just the angle, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's a dope looking little truck, though.
That episode, okay. Man, I just that's bringing back memories. I'm like, oh, it was so hot.
Yeah, I know. I know exactly how you feel. You show some episode, and be like, that episode was really good. I was like, all I can think about is like how much I was sweating.
Yeah,
underneath that
it was brutal on that one. And some of the episodes are that was like 100 degrees, 100% humidity. I think one of the crew passed out,
Really?
Just standing there. Yeah,
oh, bummer. Yeah. What's some of your favorite stuff to work on the show?
Oh God,
Mustangs. I mean, you got.
I mean,
one.
It doesn't mean that's my favorite thing because that's fun. But I like learning new stuff every time. Like we worked on a Corvette, 75 Corvette. That was really fun.
Yeah,
and I had never because for me, I'm getting introduced to these cars haven't ever even thought about before, and I got to drive that, and I was like, oh yeah, Corvette, that's cool. And then I drove it, and I was like, oh, this is really fun.
Yeah,
like,
neat, right?
I get it now.
Did
you know,
they at least put some actual power in it? 75 was not a prime year,
I think, yeah,
for Corvettes.
Yep, that's the picture. Yeah,
no, that's a 65.
That picture with me was it though?
The picture with Heather in it.
Yeah.
That. Oh yeah, that's it.
Yep. We can see you.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Is it a cop's car? With the badge.
Yeah,
about?
It was. Yeah, he gave me a badge to drive the car, and Bruno got in and put a helmet on because he was scared. The other host, but it was a bike helmet he was wearing.
Those cars. What did you like about that 75?
I liked how you sit in it. Because I hadn't driven a Corvette at all before.
The low lean
back
position.
Just how I could sit, how I sat in the seat and just could see perfectly out the windshield and just was, it just fit really well. In it really well.
Yeah.
And I hadn't driven anything like that. So for me, it's about discovering things I like along the way. And that's what this, I mean, this is my fourth season.
Yeah.
So for me, every time we work on a new car, I'm like, oh, I've never driven in that car before. I can't wait to, you know, get in and see what it's about, because it's one thing to like the look, but really that's only part of it. It's really how do they drive? How does it feel to drive it? How does it feel to sit in it? Do you want, you know, and
that's just that's what
right.
my job is.
Yeah, so
my job is only that.
I don't need to tell you that.
You don't have to tell me, but I'm glad that you are looking for the same things that I look for.
Yeah.
I don't have to spend a week under the fucking car to do it though.
Right.
It just shows up and I get in and then I go and
then it works.
And it usually works. Sometimes it doesn't, but usually it does.
I think maybe we appreciate it even a little more then.
You probably do.
Because we've worked on it. So
do.
I've seen it. Sometimes when we open the garage door and we see the car, I'm like, oh no, let's just go. We don't want to do this one.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all apart.
What's like the worst? What's one where you actually did really want to just go, oh, this is not worthwhile?
Oh, the Studebaker this year that's coming out. Man, that thing was in pieces.
Like,
I mean,
an Avanti or like one from the
50s? It was a 59 Studebaker Scotsman.
Scotsman? I don't know if I can remember. Can you find out what is the Scotsman look
like? It's kind of like the bare bones Studebaker truck. And
it's a truck.
Yeah,
right,
it's a truck. And here's the cool part. The owner was Scott Studebaker.
Oh.
And he was an eighth generation Studebaker.
Wait, so his
yes,
I'm sorry,
I know,
hold on.
I know.
Are you telling me the Studebaker Scotsman was driven by Scott Studebaker?
Yes, and it was a 59 Studebaker Scotsman. And his birthday, Scott Studebaker, was born in 59.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
You better get that one right. It'll align the whole universe.
I think we found
a new center for Back to the Future 5 for the space-time continuum.
I know. When they told me that, I was like, wait a second here. I did the same thing as you. I'm like, is that for real? Is that possible?
Yeah.
But they were looking for that truck. They were searching for that and finally found it. Yeah, they're cool looking.
Studebakers always have... What is happening with that? Studebakers always have a really interesting style. I think it's called the Firehawk. Is that correct?
I don't know.
I think it's called, I think there's a, it's in the 50s, a Studebaker Firehawk President, I think was the name of it. It's the really kind of aerodynamic, almost avian looking, I think, is it Firehawk? Is that correct? What's in the middle there? That center, I mean, that's modified.
Oh, wow.
Like that. That's a race car, but that's sort of the overall.
I hadn't seen that before.
Yeah, the Studebaker coupes from the 50s are really rad. Yeah,
that's cool looking.
And they race them a lot in La Carrera Pan America, that race down in Mexico. Yeah, like vintage race type cars they're really neat looking.
Yeah, that's real cool.
Is it hard to get parts for a 59 Studebaker?
Yes, it is.
It's gotta be, right?
Yeah.
Where do you look?
I don't know.
Not my job.
I didn't actually look for any of the Studebaker parts, so I didn't have to worry about that. Sometimes when we put together parts lists and order them, I help put together those. But with the Studebaker, they were sourcing different things. I think the engine, we didn't have to source that. He was good.
They just put in a 350 and called it a day?
We had his original engine, and we got it running again. We didn't want to replace it if we could get it running. Obviously, that's important. You know, keep it as much original.
Numbers matching is good if you've got it. Exactly. If you can make it happen, for sure.
If you can keep it going with it, then keep it going. Yeah.
Oh, Tim, the second row all the way on the left. That's the stock. That's the stock one. What is that called? Golden Hawk.
Oh, that's
not
cool.
Firehawk.
Golden Hawk,
and it's a rad looking.
Yeah, look
car.
At that. Oh
terrible
my God,
picture.
That's awesome.
But I mean, imagine a roll. Think about a Las Vegas valet, or Palm Springs.
Totally, right? Totally Palm Springs, especially totally with the blue and white like that.
Two tone. It's
I
hot.
I think I saw that car. Now that I know what it is, I think I saw one in Pasadena driving around and was wondering, and I couldn't.
They're
you know,
very
I was in my car
cool.
trying to like you ever like try to get close to the car to see what kind of car is this? I need to figure it out.
Very cool, and you know, undervalued, not particularly expensive. Hmm. I mean, I don't. You know, I don't know if they're reliable or I don't really know anything about them besides how they, and you look at the gold one in the middle. It really works. I can't remember. There's the name of a movie.
Look at that.
Right? It's like too,
that's cool.
It's too weird to like even be real.
Well, it's kind of like a truck and a car. It's a little bit of a truck car look, even though it's not.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it looks like if it had a pickup truck bed, that would work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A Studebaker, Studebaker El Camino would be
It's
sweet.
Kind of a Studebaker El Camino looking car.
Yeah. I'm just glad it wasn't an Avanti. Actually, I'm being mean. Avantis are all right.
That's the real cool ones.
The Studebaker Avantis are cool. I love these Golden Hawks, though. The wires on that one look so fire. What do you think?
Wow.
56 Studebaker Golden Hawk or 56 Continental Series 2 Lincoln.
You pull that up for us.
You know, I got Continental. Do you know about the Continental? They're fire.
Yeah.
They're so nice.
Yeah. We worked on a Lincoln Continental, but it was in the 70s, I think.
Was it like 38 feet long?
It was
long,
so long.
Mark 5
was
or something?
It was so long, yeah. It was such a boat.
Yeah.
I mean, we all piled in. It was a convertible,
you would
too.
All stand around the engine in the engine.
Seriously. Yeah. Yeah. It was the biggest.
Lincoln. It's so big.
They're so. That one doesn't even look as long right there.
That's because it's taken with a good lens.
Yeah.
If you were standing next to it, you'd be like, where's
I mean, we had thing? Everybody on the show. So the mechanics is it's myself, Joe, and Bruno.
Yeah.
And then we have three mechanics, Ronnie, Cy, and Kingster. Uh-huh. And we all six of us got in the car. There's plenty of room, you know?
You know, in the 70s, going three across was totally chill.
Yeah.
That's like not a thing people really do anymore unless you're like a gardener or a mover.
It's weird, isn't it? Like people are like, we don't want to be that close to each
other.
Now
it's all about now it's all bucket seats and your private little cocoon, right?
Yeah, you want to have a little bit of room. You need to be able to plug your phone in. You need to have your whole like little portable station.
I think the last gen Toyota Avalon was the last car to be available with a front bench.
With a bench.
And when was that? What year?
I mean, it was like 5 or 6 years ago, probably. Yeah. It was more recent than you
but
think.
But that's it? I mean,
that was it.
That's it? There's no
pickup
more
trucks.
Bench?
The rest is
pickup trucks.
Very basic entry-level pickup trucks. Yeah.
And that was the thing in Montana, though. Everybody had pickup trucks. And then you knew if they were a couple when they were cruising down Main Street because she'd be
she
new
over.
Yeah,
that's
and then
what
you're
I was
like,
waiting to
say. That's the one thing I can't do is that snuggle.
Yeah, and that was like...
Because I don't have a bench.
Oh, I got it.
He doesn't either have the bench or the girl.
No,
I don't know.
I do have the girl, actually.
Okay, okay.
Believe it. I know it's hard to believe, but I actually do have the girl.
The Vector kind of had a bench.
Oh, that's fucking
that
true.
That three-seater.
Tim Whitcomb, give me a Vector W8 interior, had a bench three across and a shifter on the left.
Oh.
Yeah, it was weird.
On the left.
Not on the left on the column.
Oh, not on the column.
On the left in the door sill.
Okay, that's super weird.
Do you know what about the Vector?
No.
Okay, pull up the exterior
first,
Tim, in the center.
I'm learning all kinds of things. It's great.
Vector was a very bizarre supercar that was created by a guy named Jerry Wiegert in the 1980s. And it was almost this like phantom story where it took like forever to get this thing built. You know, I think it from the time he showed the car... Until the time he actually delivered one, it was like 10 or 12 years. It was a long time.
My goodness.
Yeah, and this was the W8. And this thing is pretty crazy looking, right?
But that has a bench seat
in
the front?
Yes, it does.
That doesn't look like it would have that from the outside, right?
Pull up the interior. It does, my friend.
That's
100%. Why?
Yeah, why?
Because you could have, excuse my French, two bitches.
I thought you were going to say that.
And look, here it is. Three across.
Up.
Oh, that one has the buckets.
Yeah,
there's one that had the bench, but
I want to see the bench.
The bench, and then the shifter is in the door sill to the left of the driver.
And why did they do that rather than putting it up like on the column or something?
I don't think it's very supercar-y to put it in the column.
Yeah, it's
it,
not.
It, the shifter is, first off, automatic. That stupid thing.
I thought it was okay. Oh, so there I thought it is. You were left
That's
shifting.
It. That's oh, is the Avtec one had okay. the bench? Yeah, there it is. That's the one. It's got a bench. Look at that thing. It's like a love seat.
So no, random.
So look at the bottom of that left of that image.
Yeah, okay.
The shifter
see.
Almost looks like a fighter okay. pilot throttle.
So it wasn't. It's not like it's a manual.
No, no,
up
no,
there.
No,
okay,
no, okay. no.
Because so, that would be super weird. Then you have to learn how to.
Right, shift with your left hand. Well, English
fine.
Drivers would
yeah.
know how to do it. But so get this, the powertrain on that thing is hilarious. They took the old school 70s Oldsmobile Toronado. it's either a 427 or a 455
wow.
or it's a big
wow.
block motor.
Yeah.
Fuel injection, twin turbos, 3-speed automatic.
Wait.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
For real.
Why?
Because they're stupid.
Yeah, that doesn't even make any sense.
They sold, I think 18 of them.
I was about to say, no. How long was that car on the market?
Oh, six months, and they sold 18 of them, and then he tried to do a second gen version. The second top left picture is the second gen version, which was called the. Avtec prototype and became so this is a second generation bodywork with the same powertrain, and that powertrain they couldn't get it to work right, so they took this body and put it on top of a Lamborghini Diablo, and the second gen cars were normal V12 manuals with a Lamborghini engine.
And so that still didn't do well though?
They sold like three.
What year is this that we're talking about?
The first Vector was like 89,
I can tell
maybe,
that was
90. 80s,
and then this one they tried to like the, 90 something?
Yeah, 96
yeah.
maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, 96. Look up
the first one was clearly
Vector
an 80s car.
I think it's called the M12, Vector M12. The first one is mega 80s. Yeah, there's the M12. That's the one with the Lamborghini engine in it, the production version.
Okay.
Yeah. Not the... You can actually, if you look
that
carefully...
That just looks...
Wonky.
Yeah,
really wonky.
Like, look at that. I don't even know. It's
all
like
out of balance.
It's yeah. like it should be on the moon or something.
Yeah,
like.
It's almost like you just tried to rebody a Diablo. It's wonky as hell. But the dude who designed that lives in Los Angeles and owns the WX3 prototype with the bench and brings it to Cars and Coffee all the fucking time.
Oh, really?
All the time. That picture is probably from Cars and Coffee.
Right.
Yeah, dude, that picture's from Supercar Sunday in Topanga.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
And they're for sale as a pair. Can you just Google Vector auction for sale?
How much are they for sale for?
Get this. Take a guess. What would you
Let's
pay?
See. Well, it's not what I would pay. It's what he
just,
thinks
what
it's worth,
yeah,
right?
What do you think? Oh, boy.
Well, there aren't very many of them, right?
I know,
right?
There's not
so,
a lot. So it's, there's
so
two.
It's gonna be, so
one
there's
is a,
two.
One has no roof. One is a spider. And one
okay.
has and one has a roof. They're the prototypes, and they've only ever been owned by this
so,
dude.
So, $10 million.
He wants $3.5 for both.
Okay.
Here it is. Vector Motors, from thedrive.com, who I write for. Scroll down. Vector Motors selling the prototypes. There's
oh,
the
there
WX3.
Okay.
Yep, and there's probably a picture of the spider as well.
There
here
it
is.
Is.
Yep.
Yep.
And they want $3.5 million for the pair, and... They'll never get it.
No.
and the point is to use that money to fund a new car, which is never going to happen.
Well, wait a second.
That's what the new car looks like. Ugh. Horrible.
So the person who designed the other ones wants to try again. Didn't
yeah.
learn.
Round three, bro.
you Sometimes
know?
You just got to just stop.
Yeah, or like, you know. Get a job at Hennessy or something. What are you doing? I don't know what the fuck
you're doing. Just totally switch careers.
Something, right? Crazy.
Well, you know, some people just think like, oh, I didn't get it right, and I'll just keep going.
Yeah.
Someday my vision is going to...
Isn't that like the American mantra, though?
Yeah.
If at first you don't succeed...
Try again.
Burn $3.5 million more
yeah,
dollars.
Yeah. Just keep spending money, and some people will believe in you.
Yeah.
You just need a couple people who are like, yeah, I thought it was a great card, and they're like, oh, see, some people like it.
You know, they did some real funky product placement. Do you remember the movie Rising Sun? With Wesley Snipes and Sean Connery. It's based on like a Michael Crichton book from the 80s.
It's
kind
know.
Of a neat movie, actually. But they had one in a...
There's
a chase with one, yeah, that ends in a crash, an explosion.
I learned early on, or I learned on the Jay Leno when we did movie car trivia, that I do not know anything about movie cars. I did terrible. I'm like, also, all of the movies were like from the like 50s yeah. and 60s and like
shit he watched when he was
yes,
a kid.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. And we were, none of us were that age of Jay, yeah. and we were like, we don't know any of this.
Did you do his game show?
Yeah,
his
it was
thing?
The game show.
I did it too.
Oh, you did?
The
How
set?
Did you do?
I don't want to give it away because I don't think it's
okay.
aired yet.
Oh, okay. Mine already aired.
Did
so
it?
I
did you win? How'd you do?
No.
No?
Our team. The
Who
other,
was your partner?
Well, here's the unfortunate part is like you weren't supposed. We actually almost got a point, but he couldn't believe that the other team didn't guess the Batmobile. And we were ready, you know, because they didn't get it. And we were ready. And then Jay goes, he was so frustrated
so
with
mad.
The other team that he's like, it's the Batmobile. And we're like, no, we knew that. We were going to get a point. And now we have 0 points.
Jay is not a great game show host. He gives away the answers.
We're like, no, we knew
dude,
that.
Dude, so, I was trying to get that point.
Yeah, we were 0-1, so you could see how well we did there.
But wasn't his game show set impressive?
Yeah, it really was, actually.
Is there an image of Jay Leno's game show set in his garage? When I walked in there, they invited me to do it, and I was like, holy shit, you guys aren't fucking around.
Yeah.
I thought this was a goof.
No, it was real. They had the lights coming all around. It was like, you know, it was legit.
Yeah. Is that it? Yeah, is that it? No. Never mind.
Yeah.
Never mind. Try Googling.
I had a
Leno
and
show
it,
is going to come up with a bunch of disasters.
Yeah, it was really cool, actually. It was fun. I had a lot of fun.
Who was your partner for the game show?
Justin Bell.
Oh, I love Justin.
Yeah.
He
so
is
he was
lovely.
Great.
Lovely.
Yeah, he is. He is. Yes. I would just give him blank stares, like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
He's a like,
good
I don't
dude.
Know either.
Good dude, good host, good
yeah,
driver.
He's really great.
Has he been on the fucking show? If we had Justin on.
You need to.
If we haven't, that's a major oversight.
Yeah, you need to get him
yeah,
on.
Yeah, especially because he's local.
Yeah.
And the son of the legendary Derek Bell.
Oh, yeah?
Do you not know who Derek Bell is?
I didn't know any of that.
Derek
Bell
is.
I just knew he was cool.
Derek Bell was like a legendary Le Mans driver.
Oh, I did know
70s.
That because I was talking to him. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I did know that because he runs his Le Mans too. And yeah. He was
Justin,
telling me about
Justin
that.
Justin is amazing. Derek is like, you know, is like holy almost.
He had to like follow like those footsteps.
Derek, he just survived that era. You know, he came away from that era with trophies, but it's more like if you're still fucking alive and you were racing then, you're a
it's
legend.
It's amazing, right.
You know, have you seen all the documentaries about
it's crazy.
All the racing in the 60s and 70s and how fucking dangerous it was?
So dangerous.
There's something that's being shown on like Delta flights now. It's called, I think it's called Ferrari Race to the Afterlife, which is super morbid.
Yeah, seriously.
Is that actually what it's called? I don't want to race to immortality. I'm sorry.
Afterlife or immortality. I mean, you can go either way.
It's kind of the same thing.
It's going to go.
Yeah. And I feel it's really bad. It's about Race to Immortality. It's called, and it's really just about all the Ferrari drivers that died over like a 10-year period and how little Enzo Ferrari gave a shit.
Wow. I mean, the risk was just super high.
Crazy.
I mean, it was like, if you were going to do it, you would. I mean, I wonder what the percentage chance of like, okay, 50% of
oh,
people
no,
make it.
Oh, no, Jackie Stewart did that math once. He said every weekend you went out to do a race, you had like a 20% chance of dying.
Wow.
It was so
that's pretty high.
Hot. Yeah,
yeah,
no, it was crazy.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
You're like, kiss your wife and kids because you might not be coming back. But if you do, you're going to make some money.
Yeah. Well, that's Enzo Ferrari's sort of attitude was that's where the immortality comes from. It was, you're either going to be a champion and you will be immortal, or you will die trying and you will be immortal.
God, it's
kind
of like, yeah, back in, I don't know, I want to say like Gladiator. It's kind of
yeah,
like,
no, totally.
You know, right? You
yes,
know?
It's 100%.
Like, we don't really care if you die or not, but the show is going to be amazing.
I will be entertained.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and you'll do it for the glory of the brand, and it is really some macho Gladiator shit.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
And there's that documentary, and then have you seen the one, The Number One?
No, I have to watch some of these.
It's called One. Just The Number One is the name of
it. Right, right.
And it is the most fantastic racing documentary I have ever seen.
I'll definitely check it out.
Except for Senna, which if you've seen Senna, is incredible as well.
I got some racing documentaries
those
to
are
watch.
My three. The Ferrari in Race to Immortality, One, and Senna are my three favorite racing films.
Perfect.
I recommend all of them very heavily. I've watched One like probably 50 times. I've watched it so many times. Michael Fassbender
there it is.
Narrates it.
Oh, does he?
Yes. And it is
true story of drivers who risk their lives and change the sport forever.
Yeah, to me, like the a documentary, like it really needs good pacing and like good energy, and that documentary has a really well-crafted flow of energy.
Yeah, yeah.
So the show, you got what, 5 hosts of that show? Is it 3 hosts and 3 mechanics?
3 mechanics.
So are you not wrenching on this?
I am. We are still wrenching.
You are?
The mechanics help with a lot of the work. Mm. And they're on camera as well.
Mm-hmm.
But Bruno, Joe, and I are the main hosts, and Joe's the designer of most of the builds.
Right. So how far into the custom world do you go? Is it more restore or more pro touring or more modernize it a little bit? What do people like?
I guess it just kind of depends on what vehicle we're working on. I mean, really, because every build is different. But usually we're not trying to really modernize it. We're trying to get it. It's a rescue.
Right.
So we're not doing a $100,000 build.
Right. Okay.
You know, we don't have time to do that either. No,
yeah.
It's not. So we're not overhauling. It's not. This is why it's aspirational for people who have project cars in their garage, because it's something they actually could get out and do.
Right. I guess you're showing that, like, with enough energy, you could get this thing going, you know.
Gather your friends around.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I mean, you need friends anyway when you're working on a car, if you're going to take on a project like that, because it's a lot of it's problem solving.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, this isn't working. Why? Okay, let's try to figure out what's going on. And for me, at least when I'm problem solving, I like to have someone else to, spitball the ideas with, like,
Does
oh, no, that's not
stupid?
It. Yeah. Does this make any sense? Should we take this apart? Or no, don't do that. You know, and so a lot of it's problem solving. And I think for people watching the show that, you know, they see us solve problems on camera too. And it's like, oh, that's what's going on with my car. Or I can get to that point, and now I feel like I can get past that.
So funny. I always watch the shows that have elements of that. For me, it's more about, like, I watch a lot of cooking shows. I love food,
and I
watch
too.
A lot of cooking shows, and I always feel like I'm learning something while I'm watching it, and then it just goes.
You don't remember it
the second I turn it off.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, then you're not putting it into use probably.
I know,
right.
Yeah.
Away.
I mean, if I want to cook, like, I will Google like how to make whatever, and you know that. But it's wow, I just sailed that. It's sorry. It's, I guess, inspirational. It really is the word.
Yeah.
More so than specifically educational.
Right. We're not a how-to show. No, we're not going like, you know, remember the cooking shows when they were how-to shows?
Actually, I kind of miss some of that.
Yeah.
I was,
it's like, now you do this, now you do that.
I like the cooking competitions are fun, and Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives is fun, and Bourdain did a great job with what he was doing. But a little bit, I do miss old school cooking shows.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Emeril.
Yeah.
You know, doing his thing. Like,
uh-huh.
I kind of miss that stuff.
Yeah. It's fun if you want to learn it. That's for really learning how to cook and not just being entertained.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't, maybe people today want to be more just entertained in things.
Yeah.
With a little bit of knowledge.
I noticed some of your stuff has a wine focus. Are you a trained sommelier?
Yeah.
Oh, you are?
I did level 1.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Cool. Like,
yeah.
You did like the test?
Yeah.
How many levels are there?
Well, the next one is advanced, and then you go to master, I believe.
The documentary Somm is about the master one,
yeah.
Right? That shit is crazy.
They are crazy.
That's
I mean,
crazy.
You have to live and breathe wine at all times, and your poor liver at that point.
Oh my God. I love wine. I don't know a whole lot about wine. I just, this tastes good, this doesn't taste good, whatever. And I don't really focus on price much. It's just like, if it tastes good, it's great.
Right, right.
But like, the knowledge that these people have.
Oh my God,
have.
It's incredible.
So what do you learn in the level 1?
So, you mean, you really learn a lot in a very short amount of time. I underestimated the amount of I'm just like, oh, it'll be fine. I can kind of cram for it a little bit.
No.
You need to know a lot.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, you really get a good overview of the wine regions in the world, right? So you start to understand when you're staring at a shelf of wine in the store, what it's going to mean if it's going to be an Italian bottle versus, let's say, an American bottle.
Right.
First of all, there's a very big distinction between European and American, and that's important. And that's just, so you start to learn the basics to distinguish what kind of wine you're going to want to order, you know, with different food, and what kind of be a nice bottle to bring to your friends to the party and things like that. And for me, I also have an event company here in LA, and we do a lot of bar stuff, and I really just wanted to beef up my knowledge of like, what are the types of things that we're going to want to serve? What can I recommend to people in those instances? And I just like drinking wine too.
Yeah, me too, for sure. But so it does serve you professionally somewhat.
Yeah,
what's your event company?
It does. It's called Black Lab,
uh-huh.
And we specialize in bars.
So what you do, like a pop-up bar for an event?
If you needed that people kind of have events, they have weddings, corporate events,
cool.
Anything that they pretty much, I mean, 40th birthday parties, I mean, in people's houses, we do all kinds of stuff, but we'll do specialty stuff like snow cone, alcoholic snow cones, and, you know, like margarita bars where you muddle your own, and just basically anything you can think of,
neat.
You know, giant ice carved luges that you pour shots down for people. And
I'm
stuff.
A fan of an ice luge.
Yeah.
You know what? Think about an ice luge, though. Got to be the first one.
I know, right?
Were you with us on New Year's last year, Timmy? We went to James Beach for New Year's?
No.
We went to a local place for New Year's.
I know James Beach.
You know James Beach?
Mm-hmm.
I like it because it's walking distance.
Yeah.
I was like, what is the
that's
one,
important.
What's the one thing I don't want to do on New Year's?
Be in traffic.
Take a $200 Uber to Hollywood.
And then you can't get there. You're in traffic. It costs a fortune.
Dude, last year we went to Hollywood for fucking New Year's. And when I was trying to get home at 2 o'clock in the morning, guess what? 8X surge, bro.
Oh, yeah. And it'll take, and you'll wait an hour for that Uber too.
Dude, it was like, it was a Suburban, and it was like six of us, and I'm a nice guy, so I bought, it was $300.
Oh my God.
And
so you went
like,
from Hollywood back to Venice area.
Dude, the Uber
crazy.
Home last year paid for me and my girl's ticket and open bar at the whole event at the walking distance place this year.
Right.
The point is, they had an ice luge.
Yeah.
And the point of that was, we got there first. And we were like, oh shit, this party's like not popping off yet. Ice luge, no one's touched. Let's go. Because, you know, after an hour or two, you really got to worry about the herp.
Yeah,
well,
you get
drunk
a few,
people.
You get a few mouths on them.
Drunk people don't realize that they just start getting all on them. They don't want to lose any of the alcohol, so they start slurping on it. And that's kind of gross.
It's super gross.
Yeah. We don't encourage people to put their mouth on the ice luge. You're supposed to just.
air catch.
Yeah, you got to be good at it, just like with water, you know.
Someone should invent like a disposable
like a nipple
mouth nipple for ice luges.
Slides that on. Probably wouldn't be hard to. I mean,
right?
You wouldn't want to necessarily use a condom, but it's kind of like that almost.
Like
you
dam?
Could just put that on there. Like,
a hammock that catches it.
Put it on there. That's kind of gross.
We've really veered into the weeds here. Do they make those really like a real complex one? Looks like a bobsled luge.
Yeah, because you can have like people are ice sculptors who will sculpt whatever type you want.
Yeah,
and they can get pretty bizarre.
Yeah,
but
it's the craziest ice luge someone's ever asked for, if you can recall.
There was some woman's body one.
Really?
Yeah. So
where
that
did you put your mouth?
That gets weird.
Wait, did you put?
Well, I didn't use it.
No, but where would the royal you put their mouth?
Yeah.
The shot. I'm asking a real question here. Where'd it go? Is that like an ass crack ice luge? Is that what's happening?
It was, yeah.
Really?
It was.
That's why she didn't answer.
I was like, do you really want to know?
Yes. 100%.
Now, some people would love that.
100%.
There's
dude.
A lot of butt lovers out there.
That's so fucking rad.
Let me see if I can get an image.
So with the is it in your greatest hits section of your website?
Yeah, we didn't advertise that one.
With the sommelier thing, at the level one, do the tasting identifying, or is that only at the crazy master level too?
You don't have to do it at the first initial level. You do it the next one. Yeah.
Huh.
Where you have to identify, it's literally you have to identify the region it came from, the grape, the year, and the area. I mean,
that's fucking crazy.
It's scary.
So crazy. Just from a taste.
I know, but you do get more used to it, and that's the whole idea of continuing to understand like the different grapes. I mean, I've learned so much since that course just going out and tasting wine now. And I love going wine tasting like in San Ynez Valley, going, you know, up there and just going to various different wineries because it's beautiful.
I'm going to Napa in November. I'm going to have to get a list from you.
And Napa,
would you
it's
make
amazing.
A list for me?
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know where I went last year and I had the best wine I think I've ever had in my life. South Africa.
Oh, yeah.
Cape Town.
They're known for having some good wine.
Was incredible.
That's
incredible.
Amazing.
Incredible. The wine was so good and it was so cheap. It was like the best bottle in the whole city was like $100.
See, that's fun. It's good that you say that because I think people think you have to spend a lot of money in order to get a good bottle of wine.
But the tariff shipping at home was a real problem.
Oh.
I sucked it up and sent one case home because it was so good, but it like tripled the price to send it home.
Yeah,
it's why
I
you
bet.
Can't get anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Every restaurant I go to, I'm looking for South Africa. And,
they don't
and
have
no
it.
One's got it.
Because it costs so much to get
crazy
it over here that people don't
want
to spend that much money. It makes the bottle unaffordable.
Just drink it all. It's so
I
good.
I definitely will.
Stellenbosch is the region
it's called.
Stellenbosch. North of Cape Town. It's approximately the same latitude as Sonoma.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a mountainous area and a valley, and the weather is spectacular and is beautiful, and there's vineyards and food, and it's just the best.
Sounds lovely.
Shout out to Cape Town.
I'm getting thirsty.
Do they have water yet in Cape Town? You want a shot of some Four Roses shit? Did you at the level one though? Can you identify if you were to, if I put something in front of you, could you guess the varietal?
Most likely,
probably.
Yeah.
What do you think? Just to, one last wine question. What's your Whole Foods wine section. What's like the best like $20 bottle of red wine you think I could buy like at a grocery store in California? Because that's where I buy a lot of my wine at fucking grocery stores.
Yeah, I do too, and they don't really have the best.
They don't.
You know? I mean, Whole Foods actually has a decent selection. I don't like selections really at Ralph's and Vaughn's very much.
No.
I go in there.
Super commercial.
It's so commercial, yeah. And they're just, you know, a lot of wineries, you have to be careful because as soon as like a big company buys them, they'll still have the name, you know, but they're bought, for instance.
It happens with beers all the time too.
Meiomi wine that happened with, they were, you know, small and their wine was really good like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And there was a bottle that I really liked, and then I, a couple years ago had one and I was like, this doesn't taste either. I've just became more of a wine connoisseur than I knew. And then I asked them and they said, oh no, they were bought by somebody, so it's not even the same wine anymore. And so if you ever come across that, you're like, I thought this bottle was good. That may have happened. Yeah. I'm trying to think of what I would recommend right off the top of my head. And
I'll throw one out and tell me if you've heard of it. There's a bottle I like, a company I like called Force of Nature. Have you seen them?
No, I like the name though.
I like the company. I like the wines a lot, and their label art is spectacular.
You know what? And it does make a difference, doesn't it?
Totally. That's how I buy a bottle.
I know. I like how the labels have changed.
Yeah. Like, labels are fun now.
They are. They're not like this stuffiness anymore. No. Like a whole new generation of wine has come out where young people are making wine. Mm-hmm. They want cool artsy labels. Mm-hmm. There's one out of Oregon.
Force of Nature, the father owned a vineyard, and the son came up with the brand and the artwork in college.
That's awesome.
And then they started selling it, and it's like, done.
That's great.
Sorry, you're saying there's one?
I went to school because in Oregon State, there's a Willamette Valley there.
Yeah.
For wine. So I started tasting Pinot Noirs because that's what primarily what they grow up there. But there was a wine that I was introduced to at Whole Foods. I think actually Silver Lake Wine introduced it to me. I was tasting a while ago, and it's called Love Drunk, and it's
good
a
name.
Really cool label.
Good name.
Yeah, if you could probably find
Love Drunk Wine. Let's find a label. Yeah,
yeah, it's a really cool label and decent price. It's under $20.
Mm-hmm.
So you're asking for that?
Yeah, under twenty. I think for like a dinner bottle. Oh, that is a good label.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, yeah. It looks like the cover to a record.
It does
almost like a punk rock record. Yeah.
Like, that's just
$15 from Wine Library. There you go.
So it's tasty and it's fun.
Thank you.
You know, when they introduce it, it stands out too on the shelf. It's like, oh, this is cool. Love Drunk. I like that.
I've recently become a real big fan of the white.
Mm-hmm. I love white.
I didn't drink any white until about a year and a half ago, and now I'm just so about it because I don't get hangovers.
And when you say white, is there a particular grape you like?
I think I like Chardonnay the best. It's got a good crispness to it, a good flavor.
Has a little more body to it.
Yeah, now, I like a body.
Chardonnays now finally are, you know, they're not oaked anymore. There was a period of time where Chardonnays, they must have just been making a lot of bad quality grapes. And they're just like, let's just oak it and it'll be awesome. And it was not awesome. It was crappy.
When they talk about it being like aged in oak barrels and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, they were super buttery, oaky, and people were just, most people don't want that anymore. And so
I like
Chardonnays kind of went.
Summer thing that's happening. Yeah.
They kind of went through a bad period of time. And now Chardonnays that are coming out, they're aged in stainless steel. They're crisp. Mm. They don't have that oaky, over oakedness that people don't want, because you want to taste the grape.
If
you have good quality grapes, you want to taste the grape.
Yeah.
I really like Pinot Grigio because it's very crisp and minerally and dry. I like wines that are dry finishes. Mm-hmm. So that just goes with everything. You can just kind of drink it in an afternoon and you don't have to have anything with it.
Yeah.
So you might like Pinot Grigio too.
Awesome. I'll check it out. What do you, let's, guys and girls watching us, we're going to get to your super chat questions in just a second. So if you have anything you'd like to ask Heather or myself on this live program, get in the super chat right now. And before we do, plug anything you want to plug?
Well, you guys got to tune in to Garage Squad every Wednesday night, 9 o'clock on Pacific time and Eastern on Velocity Channel.
Pacific and Eastern?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
if you're Central, then it's 8 o'clock. And they also are available on the Motor Trend app. So,
oh, that's good.
Yeah. Before it was just Velocity, and this year now they're also available Motor Trend. So if a lot of people might not have DirecTV or just, you know, because we're so...
I don't have cable.
I don't either. No. So
you can't watch your own show. Right?
I can because it's on the Motor Trend app. So I was excited about that.
I was on the NBC Sports show last year. I had no way to watch it. You know what's crazy? They wanted me to like live tweet during the show, and they had to legit send me a file, and that I would have to hit play.
Yep.
Exactly.
That's what I did last year. That's what I did last year because I wanted to live tweet because I had a lot of interaction with fans. It's actually hard. I don't think people realize how hard it is to watch the show and live tweet at the same time when things are going on, because like by the time you send your thing, so many things have happened already in the show, and you're like, oh crap, and then people are responding. It actually is a little bit stressful, I found it. I was like, I can't get back to everybody in time.
Yeah.
Kind of like talking and producing a podcast at the same time.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, the other show I produced, the Watch show, I have to do what his job and this job at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
It's very hard.
That's confusing.
Yeah. Let's head over to Super Chat. I'm going to check out your
show.
I have the Motor Trend on demand.
Oh, good.
We just answer fans' questions. That's all.
Perfect.
They make a small donation to ask us a question that we answer on the show.
That's cool.
That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very easy. Car advice and whatnot. Let's see.
What do they
first
have
one,
for us?
Looking for a fun hatchback leading towards the Mercedes GLA 45 AMG. Should I go for that or the Golf R, Focus RS, or maybe Audi S3 in Chicago? Okay.
That's important that they put where they're from.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
100%. Because Chicago has awful roads.
Right. And
awful.
Weather. Is
and
like,
awful weather.
You need to be able to deal with sleet, ice, snow.
Yes.
So what?
Okay. The Focus RS is off immediately. I have one. It's stiff. You do not want that car in Chicago. The Golf R would be very nice in Chicago. It rides very well. So does the S3. The GLA is the big hatchback, right?
Yeah.
So the good things about the GLA, it's kind of like a rally car.
Yeah.
In terms of you can like bounce it on curbs.
Okay, well that's kind of good.
It's got some suspension travel. It's got a real firecracker of a motor. It's got a 350 horsepower 2-liter turbo 4-cylinder.
This sounds like a good choice then.
Pretty cool car. The depreciation on them.
Oh no.
Is so terrible.
So as soon as you drive it off, that's it. It's
they're expensive. They're like in the 50s.
Yeah.
They're expensive. And if you look at one that's like 2 years old used, it's like $24,000.
Wow.
They just right off a cliff.
Now, then my question would be, do they hold up or are they, you know, I mean, is the 2 year old a good choice for someone or is like, you know?
Listen, you talk about used and German. Your three favorite letters are CPO. Certified pre-owned warranty.
Right.
Yeah, I would never buy any used German car without a warranty, unless you're talking about
expensive.
Something very old.
Right, and then you're on a whole different thing.
Yeah, I would say for Chicago, the GLA 45 is good. I mean, there's other, like, what else is, like...
Sporty hatchback, kind of.
Sporty hatchback... No, you're not getting into a Macan at that price.
Are they all around the same price?
So Golf R and Focus RS are both around 40.
Okay.
38, 40. The Audi S3 is almost 50. The GLA 45 is in the 50s.
I like Audis.
The Audi S3 is lovely.
Yeah.
Have you driven one of them?
I haven't, but I like Audis in general.
It's very nice.
Yeah,
it's a very nice car.
I drove the Audi R8.
Oh, that's a...
and I loved it.
Terrible car.
Yeah.
Terrible car.
I was like, well, I'll take one of those.
The R8's rad. They just made the announcement that they have scheduled the final build. They are ending production of the R8.
Oh.
They don't sell.
No, but they drive, but it's so fun to drive.
Oh, they're awesome. They're awesome. It can join the list of a whole bunch of other awesome cars that no one's buying right now.
So why aren't they buying them, you think?
Lambos instead?
They're expensive.
Yeah, they're like $200,000.
They're like $200,000, yeah. And the Lambo is really the same price.
Mm.
And so the real difference between the R8 and the Lambo is the interior volume.
Yeah.
The R8 is 4 inches taller than the Lambo roof height and has a lot more leg room.
That
so
seems
if you're
like
me,
that would, right, if you're a tall person.
If you're me, the R8 is the one to have.
Right.
100%. Great tall guy sports car.
How tall are you?
6'3".
Oh, yeah.
Great tall guy sports car. You would fit in the Lambo just fine and you'd probably want that.
Okay.
The other one that's not selling and that's amazing is the new Acura NSX.
Oh, it's not, huh?
It's not selling great. It's not horrible, but it's not selling a lot and it's an incredible car.
I drove that one,
the
actually.
New one?
It was last...
The hybrid one.
Last
the new,
year.
The, yeah.
New
for last year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ridiculous, right?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. Super awesome.
I know. It surprised me, actually.
Right, but you know, there's a limited number of people that want to pay $150,000 for an Acura.
Right, I know. And that's that. Well, that's why I said, "Oh, it's an Acura." I don't know. And then I got in. I was like, "This thing's
awesome."
No,
it's rad. Right. And it and you know, I had up in the mountains up here, up in the Angeles Forest, and my sustained canyon speed in that car, I think it was as fast or faster as anything else I've ever.
Right.
Been. The way it pulls out of corners is magic.
It's really cool. So yeah. It's a brand image then thing.
Yeah. Yeah, what $200,000? Of course, it's a brand image.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of to suggest that someone who is going to spend $200,000 is not interested in the perception of themselves.
The image, right?
Is horseshit.
Yeah, obviously you are. Otherwise, just go get.
Otherwise, buy a Prius. Yeah, you know what I mean? We're in LA. There's rich people all over driving Priuses.
Absolutely right.
You know what I mean?
They don't care, and that's fine.
Or buy a 911.
Right.
You know what I mean? You want to be invisible in a supercar? 911.
Right. I think, interestingly, though, mostly only men are buying the 911s, don't you think? I mean, the Porsche.
Oh, come on. No. Have you ever driven around Brentwood?
Yeah, I see a lot less women. Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's so many women in Century City and Brentwood and Beverly Hills driving around. Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, obviously, look, it's more.
I guess it feels like more
More men than women buy sports cars. But in this city, there are a lot of women that are buying 911 cabriolets. You know what I mean? There's a lot.
All right.
More than most other places.
Yeah, than other areas.
And the 911 is a female-friendly car.
Yeah.
It's easy.
Yeah.
It's if you want a sports car with no headaches, that's
right.
A good one to start with, yeah. Steven says, what of my favorite Detroit Speed and engineering car? Do you know Detroit Speed? You like muscle cars. Detroit Speed's in North Carolina, Mooresville, NASCAR country.
Wow.
And they do like really, really sick pro touring builds that are meant for like autocross and racetrack.
Oh.
And it's just 700 horsepower LSs and, you know, short gear ratios and 315 square stances. And like my favorite was the C3 Corvette, which you can find on the left there. That little white vet.
There you go.
That little fucker had a 660 wheel horsepower NA LS engine and a 4-speed close ratio autocross gearbox. It was nasty.
And you drove that?
Yeah, yeah. I went to North Carolina, drove like six of their cars. 315s all around. Full subframes, like they build the complete subframes.
Wow.
The cage, they built all of it. It's rad.
And you're on a track?
No, I drove on the street. I'd love to drive on the track, but it didn't happen. I drove on the street. I would say that is. But Detroit Speed, I have a lot of love for those guys. The Tuckers and their whole staff is amazing. If you ever want some really, really ace muscle car shit.
That's fun.
Detroit, no. They're not the only people that do a good job. I Art Morrison and a lot of other muscle car guys do a great job too, but Detroit Speed is really, really second to none stuff. Max says, can I trust an E90 or 92, presumably he means an M3, under $25,000? That's about the max of where I can stretch my budget, but that car's issues can be a little bit scary. All right.
So he's talking about which car now?
He's talking about buying an E92 M3, which is the 2007 to 13 M3.
Okay.
The V8 one.
Okay.
It's a lovely car. 25 is at the very low end.
It's going to be a high mile car.
It's going to be a little scruffy. Now, these cars have rod bearing issues. And if you have that issue, if you find some oil metal in the oil, it's a full rebuild and it's so expensive.
Yeah, that sounds crazy.
So expensive.
Is that the car? Oh, he's pulling
up. That's the E90.
That's the E90. That's the car we're talking about.
But didn't
about.
We just say that, you know, German cars and, German cars? I mean,
you know,
but V8, though.
It's a lovely car to drive. They sound amazing. They're really cool cars, but look, if all you have is 25, don't.
Get something reliable.
Yeah, 25 gets you a lot of car.
Yeah.
But not a lot of German car. You know what I mean? What would you spend 20? What do you spend 25 on? 25 will
get a Subaru.
It'll get you a great Subaru. It'll get you a great Mustang.
All-wheel drive. The Subarus are all-wheel drive. They handle pretty well. It's practical. I know people aren't like, ooh, that's sporty. But they can get sporty.
Yeah,
you can make them sporty.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I think, look, I can appreciate why you'd want to get a cheaper M3. If you roll the dice and win, you know, you could have a car that will hold value well because these V8s they're going to come up. They are.
Yeah.
Because everything's turbo. Everything's the biggest physical engine to ever be sold in a car is usually one that becomes valuable, right?
Right, right. Absolutely.
You can always count on the giant motor to be the one that's worth the money.
It will be more. But
if
the
he's
risk.
Got, yeah, but an engine rebuild on that thing is like 16 grand. You can end up with a paperweight in a month. Can't roll that dice.
No, I don't think that's a good... Yeah. That's not a good financial decision.
Well, he's asking a financial question that has a bad answer. I'm sorry, Max.
It's
sorry,
not the
Max.
Answer he wanted to hear. I'm
and
sorry.
And that's stretched out, too.
It's definitely not. Huh?
That's stretched out. That's his
stretched
budget maxed
25,
out.
No, yeah. I think if you want... So, I don't know if you need a back seat or whatever. We talked about this on the last podcast. $20,000 gets you a used BRZ with a Rotrex supercharger on it that will be one of the best handling, most fun to drive cars fast. And that's my...
That's what you would recommend
for Max.
That's
my $20K for that with five left over for some modifications
or
whatever.
If you want to do anything to it.
Yes. Thank you, Quinn, for your donation. Brandon says, an 83 Volvo 245 wagon... Wait. Learning to track.
Okay.
Learning to drive on a track.
So
he wants to turn an 83 Volvo 245 wagon into a track car.
That's kind of fun.
for power, do I do a dual overhead cam swap or factory turbo? Money and power are the same. Home track is Adams Motorsport. Okay, this dude lives in Riverside. 5 minutes. 5 minutes, we'll be done. The PR person's like, I gotta go. It's cool. We're sorry. So here's the thing. Adams Motorsports Park, you ever been out there?
Where is it?
Adams Motorsports Park.
No, where is that?
It's in Riverside.
Oh.
It's basically a go-kart track.
Okay.
They run autocross on it, too.
Oh, but they do.
It's not really a track.
It's
an autocross.
Okay.
It is a legit autocross.
It is.
But
okay.
Instead of cones in a parking lot, it's laid out like a racetrack, but it's the size of an autocross.
Okay.
I would say if you're going to track a car and you can get the same power with a better head NA versus a turbo, the heat management is going to be your issue, especially in Riverside, especially in low speed, low gear, high RPM situations. I say dual overhead cam. What say you, Heather Storm?
I'm going to go with you on this one.
Okay. Let's see. Justin. Oh, thanks, Justin. Justin gives us $20 every single show.
Wow.
He's a boss.
He says...
Oh, Matt, Napa, Alpha Omega is the best. That's a winery, isn't it? Isn't Alpha Omega a vineyard? I believe it is.
Yeah, that's what he's sharing.
Would
uh-huh.
love to set you up there.
Perfect.
You taste for free if I
Sweet.
Set it up. Sold.
Nice, Justin.
Justin.
Thanks for that.
Justin doesn't just donate. He bought one of my cars. He bought my Skyline.
And he knows wine.
Thanks, Justin.
That's
I'll
awesome.
Email you later. One more time before we get out of here. The show is Wednesday nights. Oh, my God.
Start again.
You do the
breathe,
plug. I just had a brain bubble. Can you do it, Heather? I'm sorry.
Wednesday nights, Garage Squad on Velocity, 9 p.m. And you can also check it out on the Motor Trend app. And actually, it's a bonus because the first four episodes are already on the Motor Trend app right now.
Oh, cool.
So, and if you want to learn more about me, you can go to heatherstorm.com.
And drive yourself local on YouTube. You just got started there. Subscribe.
Yeah. So give me some love.
Thanks for coming in, Heather.
Thanks for having me.
This went better than I thought, actually.
Great.
Yeah, no, I didn't know how I was going to go when you came in, but you're fucking rad.
Awesome.
You have an open invite, my friend.
I had a good time.
Yeah, next time you got something to plug, come on back and join us.
That'd be great. Thank you
for having us. Thank you, live folks, for all your super chat questions and donations. We appreciate that. The Smoking Tire Podcast is powered by Shout Engine. Get your own damn podcast at shoutengine.com. It's easy. All you need is a microphone, a connection to the internet, and hopefully something to say. I'll see you guys next time. Good day.